Praise God. Good to happy to welcome you this evening to the midweek service fellowship of the Surpassing Grace Assembly Lagos, and always a pleasure to bring you God's word like I'm doing this evening, and I trust that you will be blessed. The midweek service is we call it normally a recreation, we call it a booster service, which is after Sunday service. You've been through the week, or the week has been through you, and you need a boost, you know, from God's word. I want to believe God today that indeed you will get that boost as we study God's word together. You'll be inspired, you'll be encouraged, you'll be rebuked, you'll be equipped, you know, even to go further, you know, in life, and be the person that God wants you to be. So it's a pleasure to have you join us, and I want to trust that you will be tremendously blessed. Today I am actually going to start looking at something quite interesting, I think, which I titled "What Jesus Said About Discipleship." What Jesus said about discipleship. Discipleship is something that we talk about very often. If you've been a Christian a while, you hear discipleship, you know. Actually, maybe not as much as we used to speak about it, you know. So people are, we don't hear so much about that. We hear all kinds of things. People talk about discipleship class. They used to call it that in the churches. No longer that. Some call it foundational classes now. I think I actually prefer that. And people call, you know, all sorts of names, you know. Startup class or whatever, you know, so all kinds of names, but it's not the class that I'm after. I'm after that act or that lifestyle. Actually, I have folders in my in my sermon notes, you know. I have folders where I save messages, and I have a folder that I call lifestyle, and I put this under lifestyle because I think discipleship is more of a lifestyle. It's about a lifestyle. It's about, you can call it a mindset, you know. So it's something that is not about classes. It's not about sitting down in 6 weeks of classes or 10 weeks of classes or 4 weeks of classes. That doesn't make you a disciple, you know. A disciple is about, you know, a mindset that determines a lifestyle. And so we want to start off a simple study today, you know, to begin to see some of the things that the Bible has to say about discipleship, and in particular talk about what Jesus, you know, himself had to say about discipleship. Because indeed, when we talk about discipleship, we're talking about followership of Jesus. We're talking about being like Jesus. We're talking about living like Jesus. So I like to stare off, you know, people's opinions and views on topic. I like to just stick, you know, with the Bible and see what the Bible has to say. It's my favorite way of looking at things, is just look at exactly what the Bible has to say, you know. So if you join me, somebody said, we prayed, yeah, I prayed earlier on. So if you join me right now, opening your Bibles to the book of Acts, we're going to talk about a few scriptures that will help me introduce the thought in my head. Acts chapter 11, if you just joined, we're talking about what Jesus said about discipleship. So Acts chapter 11 is the first scripture I'm going to read, and for each one of those scriptures, we're going to talk about, you know, certain things, and then I'll talk about four things, really, ultimately four things that Jesus said about discipleship. And in talking about those four things, I'm hoping that we'll be able to locate in there somewhere in the whole essence of this teaching what discipleship is, and we'll be able to locate ourselves on the track of discipleship. So you'll be able to tell, you know, am I the disciple that I'm supposed to be? Somebody once said, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be incontrovertible evidence, enough evidence, clear evidence to convict you, that they would say, surely this is one of them, you know, because of how you live or have lived, you know. So if we don't have that, And there isn't that kind of evidence, I'm sorry to say, but that means that you are not yet doing well enough in terms of discipleship. Okay, so we'll look at the scriptures, and the idea is that you locate yourself in there. You know, the psalmist was speaking in Psalm 119, I think verse 18, no, not verse 9. He says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, I mean, a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So a lamp to my feet means your word shows me where I am. You know, when I look in your word, it shows me where I am. You know, in my walk in life, in my spiritual walk, in all of that, your word shows me where I am. It says it's a light to my path. Also means that the word of God shows me where I ought to be going. So the word of God shows me where I am, and the word of God opens up to me where I ought to be headed. You know, what I ought to be, what I ought to be striving to become. So every time you get in God's word, that's what it should do to you. It should challenge you. It should show you and notify you that this is who you are. This is how you behave. This is what you stand for at the moment. And it should show you who you ought to be. Okay. So down to discipleship. Acts chapter 11. I'm sure you found that by now. Acts chapter 11 and verse 25. The Bible says, "Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Okay? And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So what I really wanted us to see is the fact that it was in Antioch that term was first used, the term Christians. And the question is, what does the word Christian mean? You know, very simply, that word Christian means Christ-like. So the first time they looked at those people and they said they were Christ-like, it did not have anything to do, because if you read the book of Acts, an amazing book, I guess it's called Acts, because it shows a lot of things that those disciples did. So miracles here, signs and wonders there, and all of that. But where they were first called Christians, which is in Antioch, as we just read, the Bible didn't tell us about signs and wonders. It didn't tell us they did miracles and all of that. The Bible talked about the fact that they gathered with the people, they assembled with the church for a whole year, and they were just teaching. So they were with the people, so they lived with the people, they are gathered with them, and they were teaching. So two things characterized them, or two things made for the people to look at them and say these were Christians. One, they were with them, they watched them, they looked at their lifestyle, because they were assembling together, they watched their conduct, and then they also heard their teaching. So it had everything to do with character and words and teachings and all of that, and it had nothing to do with signs and wonders. So being a disciple is not about signs and wonders that you do, even though some of those things will follow you for sure. If you're a disciple, Jesus said these signs shall follow them that believe. However, in fact, that is the distinction I want to make. However, when you are a believer, even if you're a one-day-old believer, this sign shall follow them that believe. That's Mark chapter 16. This sign shall follow them, verse 17. This sign shall follow them that believe. So it's not the signs and wonders that characterize the disciple. Actually, the disciple is characterized by his conduct. Oh, not characterized. The disciple is identified by his conduct. So the disciple is not identified by his miracles or the signs that follow him. The disciple is identified by his conduct, by his words. You know, so it's the difference between the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit can manifest through anyone. Whereas the fruits of the Spirit will only come from the mature believer, who is the believer, who is the disciple. So it's maturity that brings about the manifestation of more fruits, just like on any tree. It's when the tree grows and matures that you begin to see, as it grows, or let's put it, as it grows and it matures, you begin to see more and more fruits, okay? Maybe we'll get to read that later, but if you read the letter of Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul was writing them, I think verse 7, he said, I thank God you come behind in no gifts. You know, I thank God. So this was a church that was full of the gifts of the Spirit, full of the gifts of the Spirit. Ooh, everything happened there. And remember, that's why he had to write to them about the gifts of the Spirit and about the manifestations of the Spirit in his service, because this was a church that was that vibrant in those things. Okay, so he wrote 1 Corinthians 12, he wrote 13 about love, he wrote 14 about how to conduct and manifest the gifts of the Spirit in his service. So because that was that kind of church, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I believe we'll get to read those scriptures later. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul wrote to them, he said, you are still carnal, you are still babes. So the maturity, because there was still division among them, because they were still talking about, I am for Apollos, I am for Paul, you know. And he said, look, if you are still that way, then you are still babes. So they had the gifts of the Spirit, but not the fruits of the Spirit. Discipleship is somebody who is committed to being like Christ, who is walking the path like Christ, who is living like Christ, or a disciple is someone who is living like Christ. And the more you succeed in being a disciple, the more we will see the fruits in your life, not the gifts. It's the fruits. We will see the gifts as well. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying they won't manifest in the disciple. As I've strived, you know, to walk with Christ and to be like him, I've walked in more manifestations of the Spirit than ever. But the bigger issue is that I have seen more of the fruits of the Spirit in my life. You know, as a matter of fact, I remember years ago, somebody asked me, you know, I'd just been in a meeting where I ministered, God's power was evident. God's power was evidently manifested. All kinds of manifestations of the Spirit happened in that meeting. And I had this person approach me, you know, after that meeting. And he said, you know, how do you get these things to happen? You know, how do you get these things to happen? And I remember my answer at that moment. And I said, you know, that is the easy part. I said, that is the easy part. That the real part, the real challenging part that every believer will have to work hard to get to is that part of developing the character. Remember the letter of Peter, he said, what add to your faith? Patience, add virtue, add, you know, because if you have all of these things, it will make you not to be unfruitful. So he listed a whole bunch of character things that you will need, a whole bunch of character things. So the real issue and the real work, and actually the real personal mission of every believer, is to be a disciple. So in Acts chapter 11, these people had gathered with the people in Antioch for 1 year, and they had been teaching, and the guys in Antioch had watched them. So what the people in Antioch saw was not what other people in other places saw, because the Bible did not emphasize miracles in this place. So what they were looking at is lifestyle and words. And when they concluded after 1 year, the people said, these guys are disciples of Christ, meaning these people are disciplined after Christ. These people live a life that is patterned after Christ. So the word discipleship is from the word discipline, and it means that you have disciplined yourself or patterned your life after somebody. So they see things that show them that you are just like that person, okay? And that's what the guys in Antioch saw. So the mission, like I mentioned, look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. So the mission of a believer is to be, the personal mission of a believer is to be just like Christ. So that is the real discipleship, okay? And like I was saying earlier, it's great to have foundational classes in church, which some used to call, I don't think many people call it that anymore, which they used to call discipleship classes. However, those classes will not make a disciple. Okay, those classes by themselves do not make a disciple. Yes, we make a disciple by teaching, but eventually, what makes a disciple begins with a mindset to want to pattern your life after Christ, and ultimately a character that is indeed like Christ's character. That is who a disciple is. That is when you start saying that somebody is a disciple of Christ. Okay, so Galatians chapter 4 verse 19, Paul was teaching here or writing here, and he says, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. So Paul was saying, you know what, yes, you are saved, so that's why I call them my little children, but I keep laboring. Why? Because the destination is that your Christ is that Christ is formed in you, is that your personality, your character is replaced by that of Christ. So my labor is incomplete. Getting saved is incomplete. Being born again, going to the altar and giving your life to Christ is just the beginning. Just the beginning. He's saying the ultimate is that Christ has to be formed in you. We have to see Christ take over your character and your personality. It's when that happens that we say this is a disciple of Christ. Now go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 28. So Matthew 28 verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." So just like Galatians chapter 4 that we read earlier, if you look at verse 19 of Matthew 28 that we just read, Jesus was speaking here, and he says, what I need you to do is to go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. I think very often today we have missed the mission. We have missed what the command is. We have missed what our mission goal is. We have stopped in making converts. You know, we have stopped at making converts. So once people get born again, we are satisfied. Oh, he gave his life to Christ and that's enough for us. But what he said is go and make, not converts, but go and make disciples. So being a convert is just the beginning. It's the first rung of a ladder. Okay, it's the first rung of a ladder, but it's only the beginning. We have to go and make disciples. People who are disciplined after Christ. People who are disciplined after Christ. People who leave. So ultimately people get saved, and then we begin, because he then said, how do you make the disciple? You teach them to observe. So teaching them to observe all things that I have said. Okay, so this is one thing as an introduction that Jesus said. He said, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. To observe here is beyond just to see it, but it means to observe and to do. It means to look at it or to take it seriously and to do it. Okay, so that's what the word observe here implies, is to actually take note of something in order to do it. All right, and if you, he says, now what happens if he says, go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you? It means that this is how you make disciples, and this is what characterizes disciples, is that disciples have a lifestyle that is patterned after the teachings of Christ. The disciples of Christ are people who live a life that is patterned after the teachings of Christ. It means that they commit themselves to the teachings of Christ. So that's the very first thing. I'm talking about four things I told you, what Jesus said about disciples. So number one is that disciples adhere to God's word. Okay, disciples adhere, or disciples commit and live and pattern their lives according to God's word. Okay, so the first thing that we'll see what Jesus said about disciples is that disciples are totally committed. to living by God's word. So it's not just that you, this is how you make them, but it also means that this is who they are. So if you make disciples by teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and that's where we are, all things that I've commanded you, it means that I will know disciples by the fact that they are people who are taught and observe all things. So they don't choose, they don't pick and choose, but they are people who have determined that they are going to live their lives, they are going to control their lives by God's word. They are going to do whatever the word of God says, irrespective of their opinion, irrespective of their views, irrespective of their feelings. They are committed to doing what God's word has to say. Okay, John chapter 8. So the first thing is what? Remember, if you just joined, I'm teaching on what Jesus said about discipleship. What Jesus said about discipleship, and I basically said that discipleship is not about classes that we teach in a church. Discipleship is a mindset and a lifestyle, or is a mindset that results in a lifestyle. So people that have committed to living their lives by God's word. You know, somebody was talking to another one. Both of them had been campus, back on campus in those days where we were, and there was a lot going on campus. There was revival, really. Every time I think back to my time on campus, I must say that there was something really going on, and we believed in many things. We saw gifts of the Spirit, and great teachings and all of that, and miracles, healings, fantastic things happened, and these two people met up, outside of campus, when there was a break, they were at home, and one person was sick and the other went to visit and began to share the word and said, stand on God's word. Remember, the Bible says that by stripes you were healed. Remember, he says himself took our sickness, bore our sickness and our disease. And the sick person said, please leave me alone, we are not in school now. that is not a disciple. A disciple is somebody who is committed, whether in school or not, that is, whether in church or not, is committed to abiding by God's word. Is committed to living by God's word. And when they read the Bible, the disciple reads the Bible, he or she is reading to find instructions for life. Hallelujah, to find instructions for life. Keep your finger there, because just as I said that, I felt like reading the scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 3, I believe it is. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Is committed to living by the scriptures. Committed, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Committed to living by the scriptures. There's an attitude that follows the disciple. So we saw it. Jesus said, "What? Go make disciples by teaching them to observe everything that I've said. Observe, to do everything that I've said." So that characterizes the disciple. The disciple adheres to God's word. So as we look at these things that Jesus said, you begin to see and ask yourself and do an internal probe, am I a disciple of Christ? Okay, and that adherence to God's word begins with an attitude also, an attitude that wants to obey God's word, an attitude that wants to live by God's word. So when I read my Bible, I'm not reading to preach. I don't read, I don't study the Bible to preach. I'm reading every day, I pray every day. I'm not doing it because I want to preach the word. No, whenever I pick the Bible, I'm studying it for instructions for life. I'm trying to find how to live. I'm trying to find how to pattern my life. That's what I'm after. And believe me, there are times I've read and I've come across certain scriptures that I sit there and I'm thinking about that scripture. That's what we call meditation. I'm thinking about that scripture. I'm thinking about its application to my life. Sometimes I'm thinking about something that I need to change. about how I live. And I'm just struggling with that scripture. Why? Because I know it's difficult for me. I'm used to living a certain way. I'm used to doing things a certain way. But I've come across a scripture that is telling me to do it a different way. That's giving me a different instruction. And I'm looking at that scripture and I'm just thinking about it. I'm thinking about it. And then I begin to pray about it. And I'm saying, God, help me, because I'm going to have to do this. Because I'm a disciple of Christ, I'm going to have to do this. If I've seen it in the Word, I'll have to pattern my life after it. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. For doctrine, the word doctrine means teaching. For reproof, that is, of course, for reproof, you can prove something, for correction. And for instruction in righteousness, instruction about righteousness and our right standing with God. Why? He says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, so that we may be complete. The word complete can also be termed the word mature, that the man of God may be mature and thoroughly equipped, thoroughly enabled for every good work. So when we stay with God's word, or God's word is given to us as an instrument of enablement for maturity, so that we are equipped for every good work. Now go back to John chapter 8. So I'm just talking about what Jesus said about discipleship, and I said, number one, disciples adhere. They adhere to God's word. They adhere to God's word, meaning they regulate their lives by God's word. They live by God's word. In Isaiah 66, God was speaking, and he said, look, I made the heavens, I made the earth, I made everything you can see. He said, where's the temple that you're going to build for me? Where's the house you're going to build for me? He said, however, I look to this man. So this is what impresses me. That's what God was saying. He said, I'm impressed by the man who trembles at my word. That is, there's an attitude. I'm impressed by the man who sees my word, and my word moves him. When he comes across the scriptures, when he comes across the word of God in any form, it moves him. God says, I look to that man. I give that man attention. That man is important to me and has my attention. That kind of person has my attention. So I'm talking about the fact that the disciple adheres to God's word, and that also begins with an attitude of how you treat God's word. Okay? How your attitude towards God's word. Proverbs chapter 4 says, you should attend to my words. My son, attend to my words. Give ear to my sayings. Okay? Let them not depart from my mouth, but keep them in the midst of your heart. So there's an attitude. There's an attitude of commitment, of esteem for God's word, that is important, that begins this step of discipleship. That shows the character of a disciple. The disciple is someone that doesn't take God's word lightly, and takes it as an instruction he must abide by, no matter how difficult it is to get it done. Okay? John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, he said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. That's what I want you to know to start with. He said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So what did Jesus say about disciples? He said, watch. People who abide in my word are my real disciples. Okay? If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. The word abide means to stay put. To stay put. So if you stay in my word, if you live in my word, if you live in my word, if your life is based in my word at all times, and you can expand that word abide to show that you are talking about the fact that this person, no matter what he or she is doing, they are always talking and referring and living by the word. If he's going to buy, he's thinking about the fact that the Bible says that God hates an unjust. God hates unjust transactions. There are scriptures for all of that. He talks about he hates the unjust scales, you know. So if he's a trader, he's honest about his trade because he thinks about that. He thinks about the fact that God says he hates it when you hold people's wages. So if he's an employer, he's thinking about that, and he wants to live like that. He wants to ensure he pays his workers' wages on time. That is a disciple. Okay, if he's there as a disciple, he's thinking about all kinds of things that God has to say, you know, and whenever he can point at what scripture has to say, that is what determines what he will do. So for the disciple, if you want to know what his perspective would be on a matter, just simply look at what the scriptures has to say about that thing, and you will know what that person is going to say or what that person is going to do. The ERV version says, if you continue, just John chapter 8 verse 21, if you continue to accept and obey my teaching, you are really my followers. If you continue to accept and obey my teachings, you are really my followers. God's Word translation says, if you live by what I say, you are truly my disciples. If you live by what I say, then you are truly my disciples. The Amplifier says, if you abide in my word, that is, hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples. So you see, verse 32, which is the next verse, John 8:32, is one that then says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's the popular verse. I always like to quote 31 along with 32, actually, in order to show people that, as a matter of fact, even that revelation knowledge that verse 32 talks about, that you will know the truth, because it begins with the word and. And it means that that's a conjunction. It means that it is attached to the verse that comes before it. And that verse that comes before says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Meaning that it's the person that even abides and is committed to living by the word, that is the person that will have revelation knowledge. You know, so a lot of people read the Bible and they don't find it exciting. They don't see anything. They don't get any revelation knowledge. One reason why they don't is because they don't have that commitment to obey and to live by those teachings no matter what. They don't have that high esteem for God's word. So revelation knowledge also doesn't come. Very simply, if you had somebody that you've given several instructions and they didn't do it, they just didn't show any interest in doing what you said, you are not likely to give them more instructions. You are not likely to tell them more things. Why? Because their attitude has convinced you that it's a waste of your time to tell them stuff. So a lot of people will open the Bible, read it and close it and get nothing out of it because they do not have that strong commitment to obey and live by those teachings. And that is what characterizes the disciple. That's what shows us who the disciple will be. Jesus was speaking, you know, so I've broken that into two now. One is the attitude to God's word. The attitude to God's word. So we've said overall, that what Jesus had said, okay, we've seen in John 8:31, we've seen in Matthew 28, what Jesus has said is that the disciple is somebody who is interested and committed to living and by God's word, to obeying God's word, okay, overall. And I've said that can be broken into two phases. The first phase is their attitude towards God's word, their love for God's word, their esteem of God's word. Job 23 verse 12, Job was speaking and he said, I have esteemed your word more than my necessary food. I have esteemed your word more than my necessary food. I have esteemed your word. So I see your word, that's what Job was saying, that I see your word as being more important than my food. And he called that food necessary. Of course, we know food is necessary. But Job said, you know what? I see the word of God as being more necessary than food itself. That's the attitude. Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, Jesus said, watch how you hear, okay? Be careful how you hear. That's attitude. There's an attitude involved in that disciple's commitment to God's word. So the first one is the attitude. And the second one is the actual commitment to obedience of God's word. Okay? So if you're a disciple or if you are even on the pathway. In fact, if you're a disciple, that mindset already tells you that you are. That you are, you have the mindset that I'm trying so hard to describe is already there. Now, let me read maybe just one more verse and go to point two. Psalm 119. So like I was saying, if you're a disciple, you can already tell, you know. So as we speak and we look at what Jesus said about discipleship, the real key or the important thing is that you begin to examine yourself. Begin to examine yourself and see, am I this kind of person? If you are, then you are a disciple. Somebody says, well, but I don't do everything God's word says. No. You are on the path. That's why I talked about the attitude and then becoming, okay? The truth of the matter is this, is that nobody becomes a disciple and, I mean, a disciple full stop. We all continue to get better at it. But the point is that many people are not even on that pathway where they stopped after giving their lives to Christ, but they have no commitment to being anything like a disciple. Okay? So we are work in progress. I am work in progress. You are work in progress, hopefully, in terms of discipleship. But now you can begin to tell, yes, I am this kind of person. I love God's word. I esteem God's word more than my necessary food. Of course, I will show in certain habits that you have. Do you study God's word regularly? How desirous are you of getting more, to know more and more? And then number two is, how committed are you to doing what you find in God's word? Whether it's convenient or not convenient, whether it fits your philosophy of life or it doesn't, would you shake off your philosophy of life in order to conform with what Jesus had today? Say, okay, so Psalm 119, verse 128, Psalm 119, that's the last scripture I want to read on that one. Psalm 119 and verse 128. Okay, so again, look at this attitude or viewpoint. He said, therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. All your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. So the disciple is somebody who has looked at it and made up their mind that God is right at all times. Okay, whatever God's word says is correct. I'm not going to argue with it. I'm not going to explain it away. I'm not going to give excuses for it. If I did not meet up with what God's word says, I did not meet up, and I'm going to strive to meet up with it. If it's the last thing that I do before I die, I will strive to meet up with it. That's the attitude of the believer, of the disciple. So the disciple is not trying to explain, is not trying to tell you why it can't be done. The disciple is committed to getting it done. Amen. Hallelujah. Number two, disciples walk in love. Okay? Remember, we're just looking at what Jesus had to say. This is not me. Disciples walk in love. So it's whatever Jesus had to say. So what are the things that maybe they saw in Antioch? The things they saw in Antioch and made them say, for the first time, people coined the term because they thought to themselves, the way these guys behave, the way these guys talk, who else have we seen that is, it's a bit familiar. It's Jesus Christ. And so they said, these guys are Christ-like Christian for the first time in Antioch. So they looked at them and they just concluded. So in Antioch, some people just thought and thought and thought, we've seen this kind of behavior before. We've seen this kind of thing before. We've seen people who talk like this before. We've seen people who behave like that. Who did we see that? These guys remind us of somebody so very much. And then he said, voila, it is Christ. Then they call them Christian. That is, they are Christ-like. And that became the name and the term. Okay? So I said, number one, they adhere to God's word. Number two, disciples walk in love. John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus speaking. Remember, we're talking about what Jesus said about discipleship. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for another. A new commandment, I read again, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, John 13, 34, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So he gave a commandment, Okay, then he told you why he gave the commandment. Okay, he gave a commandment that you love one another, and he gave a standard to that commandment. He said, you love one another as I have loved you. So that don't begin to form your own standards of love. That's not what we're talking about. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment to love one another the way I have loved you. And then he explained why. Verse 35 is telling you why that commandment is very important, okay, to him. He said, because by this all, everybody, saved and unsaved, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So he said, Jesus said, that disciples are people who walk in the God kind of love. Okay, disciples are people that walk in the God kind of love. So how we live, how we our love walk determines or will help us to know whether we are disciples or not. Somebody say, well, I've blown my fuse a few times before where I've done or said something I shouldn't have said. I had to repent, you know. So I'm just saying that everybody falls short, okay, every now and then of something. But increasingly we should get better, okay, increasingly, because when he says, as I've loved you, that's a high standard. The God kind of love is a high standard. The Greek word used for it is agape, and sometimes described or defined as unconditional love. It's called selfless love. It's love irrespective, meaning it's not dependent on what the other person does or not. You just walk in love. It's described in 1 Corinthians 13 from verses 4 to 8. Tells you the characteristics of that God kind of love. And when you look at it, you can tell that this is not human kind of love at all. The human kind of love is based on how I feel, you know. So when I'm happy with you, I like the way you behave, I say I love you. The God kind of love says I love you in spite of you, okay? And that is really challenging. But Jesus says it is one of the characteristics of the disciple. Go to 1 John chapter 4. So we need to begin to see it and understand why those things are important. Why, I mean, Jesus will give some of those terminology. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. So again, I started off from what Jesus said about discipleship, because that is the foundation of discipleship. Discipleship is about what? Being disciples of Christ. So Jesus himself said certain things about who a disciple is. That if we want to be a disciple of Christ, we should start from there to begin to understand what it means, okay, to be a disciple of Christ. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Okay, love is of God. That I want you to take note of that. It says, and the one who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. I want you to take note of that phrase, God is love, for God is love. So he's saying when he ties your walking in love with your knowledge of God, he said it's because love is of God, and it's because God himself is love. So he's saying that there's no way I can claim to know God and love will not feature strongly in my pattern of life. That is the God kind of love. There's no way. Okay. I'll struggle because I'll struggle from the old lifestyle to this new lifestyle. Yes, I'll struggle. There'll be a struggle. But then the Bible makes it clear to us in Romans chapter 5 that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. So it's in there. I begin to stir it up. I begin to push and to strive to walk in it. But I cannot know God. And that strive doesn't begin to come up in my life, that I want to, you know, express and walk in the God kind of love. It is an absolute. It's not something that we can take out of a life of this disciple. In fact, one of the things I like about this one is that Jesus said that all will know that you are my disciple by this, meaning that there's something about love itself that is a sign, not just to the believer. The believer can understand, you know, you are adhering to God's word and all of that. He said, but even the unsaved will appreciate and respond to your walking in love. When they see the God kind of love manifested, even the unsaved knows that this is God, identifies with it, responds to it, and will even say this is a disciple of Christ when they see that kind of unusual God kind of love. Let's read Matthew chapter 5. I like this one, so make sure you open your Bible. Matthew chapter 5 from verse 40. It's a bit of a long read, but I like it very much. I think it tells us a lot. Now I read from verse 43, Matthew chapter 5, from verse 43. Okay, he said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now that is the world standard, isn't it? You shall love your neighbor, so which is that you love the people that are nice to you and you hate your enemy. I mean, that's basic. That's a standard rule of life. But Jesus came to change that. So he said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Wow. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Okay? What does that mean? That will identify you with God. It means you are behaving just like God. You are a disciple. You are behaving just like God, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Why? He says, for he, that is God, makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So God does what he does irrespective of what we do. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, the word perfect means mature. Okay? It says, therefore, you shall be mature, just as your Father in heaven is mature. You shall behave just like your Father in heaven behaves. Okay, let me close it on this note, on the note of something I said earlier, which is that the discipleship, you know, is about character, and therefore it's about fruits of the Spirit much more than it is about the gifts of the Spirit. I can tell a disciple by that mature Christian character. Okay, as we see in Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 to 24, it talks about that, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, you know, long suffering. We see fruits when a tree is mature. As a tree matures, it brings forth fruits and more fruits. Okay, the gifts can exist, the gifts of the Spirit can exist in an immature believer, or can manifest through an immature believer, but the fruits manifest only in the mature believer, or the fruits manifest more as the believer matures. Okay, and so we've seen the fruits, I mean, show up in maturity. The gifts, just like we saw in the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 1:7, he said they don't come behind in any gifts. And then in chapter 3, he said you are yet carnal. Maybe we should read that one, 1 Corinthians 1, and then I'll stop. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 7, he said, oh, I thank God for you. He said it in verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Verse 7, so that you come short in no gift. So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then flip a few pages to chapter 3, he said, so that is the group of people who come behind in no gift. And then he said, and I, brethren, chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? So the spiritual church with the gifts of the Spirit manifesting, Paul wrote and said, you are immature, you are carnal. Okay, so the gifts don't tell us about the maturity, the fruits do. So, and maturity is related to discipleship. I've been speaking about what Jesus said about discipleship. I trust that you've been blessed today. I'll continue next time with part two. So I've said two things that Jesus said about discipleship. Number one, the disciples are there to God's word. Number two, the disciple walks in love. And there are two more things I'm going to be sharing with you on the next episode of a teaching. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. Father, thank you for everyone who's heard, who's been here and listened to this teaching. Thank you because they will not be the same again. Let there be a strong desire to mature, to walk as a disciple, to live as a disciple of Christ. Thank you because the grace to do it is also made available. Thank you because your word also is confirmed with miracles, signs and wonders and various distributions of the Holy Ghost in the life of every hearer of this message. Thank you because we can be the same again. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So join us on Sunday, 8:30 a.m. at the church. Please go to www.totalword.org and you'll find all the details there. Whether you're in Ibadan or you're in Lagos, you'll find where church is and you can join us there. You can also find details of our radio programs. And then, of course, on Thursdays like this, you can watch the broadcast for the midweek service. I'm hoping we can gather again during the week very soon. Thank you very much once again for joining us. God bless you.